Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Pneumaticast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Ridge. And today's episode is entitled, We Know That the Old Self Was Crucified with Christ. I am going to be reading from Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 1. But the focus of our discussion today is Romans 6:6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized to death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into the death. It should literally read the death. That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead, or out from among the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be, the verb be, here is in the future middle. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And also verse 7, for he that is dead is freed, harmatia. This is the Greek word for sin. And here harmatia refers to the practice of sin. There is a particular word in the Greek that has to do with a willful and intentional sin. Or rebellion, and that's another topic in itself. But I want to draw your attention in this show to verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Please note carefully the language. Notice what Paul wants to bring to our minds. Notice what the Spirit of God has revealed to him. And Paul is now has not inscribed what the Holy Spirit has led him to write. He has written it down for us. One of the words for the scriptures is graphe. And so that is that which is done with the hand or produced by the hand. So the autographs, that is the original writings of the apostles, we no longer have. What we do have are manuscripts, lectionaries, etc. The writings of the church fathers from which we can reproduce, faithfully reproduce, as it were, the Apocrypha or the writings of the apostles. So, Paul states, knowing this, he begins this very pivotal sentence with these very important words to draw our attention to the cross, to what Christ has done for us. Please note that in the Word of God, God is always the subject, and we are the objects of His grace. God is the subject. He is the subject. We are the objects of His grace. It is, we receive the action of the verb, or we receive the blessings of God, God's actions toward us. I love Psalm 1. It is a psalm of meditation. And meditation is biblical. Please read Joshua chapter 1. And please read Psalms. Meditation is important for believing lives. We need to be centered. We need to be balanced. We need to think carefully. We need to think methodically. We need to think scripturally about our actions. Thy word have I hid in my heart, not merely through rote memorization of a verse, but through understanding that God's word is alive and powerful. And so when I intake the word of God, as I do when I intake food, which contains nutrients for my physical self. When I intake the word of God, I am intaking for my soul, for my psyche, for my nefesh in Hebrew. I am intaking or ingesting spiritual energy. Word of God gives me energy. Therefore, I need to have a substantial and consistent diet of the Word of God. Because when I focus on the Word of God, and when I focus on making my actions well pleasing to God, it takes my focus off of me. So it is a wonderful thing indeed to learn to gaze upon the living Christ, and to feed from Him, to feed from the Word of God. Because as we do this, we develop our koinonia with Him. Koinonia, the word fellowship. You know as well as I that koinonia or fellowship means more than eating together with other believing ones. The word itself means to have joint things in common. You and I have things in common with the living Christ. We are also members one of another. That is, members of the body of Christ. And God has placed us in the body of Christ where it has pleased Him. And so, Paul writes for us in verse 6, knowing this, from the word gnosko. This is a knowledge gained through experience, or an experiential awareness or perception. So it is important to understand that the term pneumatikos, which is the name of the show, literally means the spiritual one. Pneumatikoi refers to a group, or is a, in Greek, it is a plural term. It means the spiritual ones. Pneumatikos, on the other hand, focuses on the individual. And so, one who has mature spiritual perception. That's the meaning of the term pneumatikos. So, Paul writes, knowing this experientially, knowing this through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. The pneumatikos one, the pneumatikos knows that he is not to grieve the Spirit of God. And he has learned to walk in a way, to live in a way in Christ that is pleasing to God, because he has yielded over his will to the volition of God, to the will of God. And he understands that it is a continuous submission on his part. life that is well-pleasing to God. We must surrender the will. We must give over the will. Knowing this, that, and the word is haughty. It is, in the Greek, O-T-I, haughty. Haughty begins a clause. We have a haughty clause here. And so that our old man is crucified with him. This is the starting point for Paul of the new life in Christ. The old must be surrendered. Now, the old may be decorated with religious activity. The old man may be decorated with religious words. The old man may be decorated with degrees. The old man may be decorated with flowery, beautiful language. The old man can be decorated in any number of ways. But Paul tells us that we are to test everything. John tells us in 1 John that we are to test the spirits to see if they are of God. When Paul was in the Ephesian elders, he said, "Men shall rise up from among you, ... not sparing the flock. They will havoc. They will ravage the saints. They will keep the saints occupied with that which is less than Christ, but the saints will be conditioned or fooled into believing that what is less than Christ is God's desired will for them. Understand. Also, we read in the book of Acts that God purchased the church with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. The old man here is the flesh ego. In Romans 2:20, Paul writes, "I am crucified." Christ, the word, the pronoun I in Greek is ego. It is this ego, flesh, or sarx, that must be crucified. Crucifixion is what? Does it mean crucifixion means death? Okay. There's nothing beautiful crucifixion. It was execution by torture, or a torturous execution during the time, during the first century, during the days of our Lord. It was execution by torture. Paul does not take up the language of crucifixion to be in a flowery manner. He takes up this language because he knows that the life that we have been given of God, the Zoe, the spiritual life, the highest blessedness of the creature, cannot be effectively known or lived out if we are living a life of flesh, a religious life, as it were. Jesus, that is in the first century, Jesus lived among those who were very religious. In fact, it was religious. That is the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who got together with the political party, the Herodians, and they conspired in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and put him through 6 illegal trials. It was illegal in Jewish law, and the Pharisees knew this, to have trials at night. They suborned testimony from witnesses who perjured themselves, and we read in the documents that even though they perjured themselves, these witnesses did not have consistent testimony. Yet, Jesus was condemned in this phony system. He was railroaded. They knew what they wanted to do. They went through the posturing. They went through the phoniness of a trial. Very interesting. And Jesus knew what they were going to do. Pilate, of course, had the authority to override what these people were doing, intending to do. But Pilate believed he could somehow withdraw himself from these proceedings, knowing after he had talked to Jesus himself that there was nothing worthy of death. Knew this. So Pilate had Jesus scourged with a cat of nine tails. And Jesus is brought out before the crowd. And behold the man. And Pilate washes his hands. Here's a politician. And his wife also talked to him and told him, have nothing to do with what is going on with this just man, because I have suffered many things in a dream because of him. The whole proceeding was evil. And we read in the documents that Satan entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot. And he left, he went out to tell the police where to find Jesus. He knew that he would be in Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane with his own. As they left the upper room, they sung the Hallel Psalm. And then Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he began his great prayer agony, in which we read that the capillaries capillaries were open, and that blood sweat, or as it were, great drops of blood, were coming from him. Stress, the poignant stress, the heavy weight, the weightiness of what was before him to be made thin. In the Septuagint, in Isaiah 53, the verb is very dramatic. It is, as it were, God slammed down upon his son the sin of the world. So we have Psalm 22, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then Jesus says of himself, you are holy. He says, I am a worm and no man. He was made then for us, who knew experientially that he was impeccable. He knew no sin. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. That haughty, that we might receive or become the righteousness of Christ in him. It is important that believing ones understand, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Notice the verb. Notice the verb. And in the Greek text it reads, haughty, ho, peleos. of us, or hema of pahiho kleos, that is, that the old, that is kleos. Now, kleos is a word that is used by Paul to speak something very important for us to understand. Kleos is the word from which we get our word paleontology. And so kleos means that which is of long duration or old in years. Kleos also means worn out. Worn out. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, therefore, if any man be in Christ, or if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation, not new creature, a creation. Old, old things are passed away, the whole lot of things are become new. Now here, that is in Romans 6:6, calls the word kaleia, that which is of long duration, old one out. Here when Paul says old things, like old things are passed away, old things here, the word is archaea, from which we get our word archaeology. So archaea means that which is original or ancient. In 2 Peter 1:9, Peter speaks, he uses the word palai, which means Peter talks about those individuals who claim that they were removed, that they were removed from their old self. So 2 Peter 1:9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Muokazo, and cannot see afar off. It's a word here, muokazo, and hath forgotten the principle of spiritual forgetfulness, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sin, Pela. Now, Pelai here means, with regard to the word old, it means a past inconsequence, that is, a past inconsequence of the cleanse, or a past inconsequence of cleansing through the blood of Christ. It's over. Now, it is no more. He cleansed us. He washed from our own sin. The blood of Christ erased the handwriting or the ordinance, the handwritten ordinance that were against us. But notice, in the context in verses 3 through 8, Paul is talking about truth. And he uses, Peter is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He uses the term epikoideia. And he talks about how these spiritual riches come together, make a beautiful, a harmonious, melodious, wonderful personality. He writes, whereby are given to us, verse 4, even great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Very significant verse. It took me a long time to go through this verse. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world, having escaped the corruption that we know that is in the world through what? Lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence, and to moral excellence knowledge. What type of knowledge? Into knowledge of the person of Christ, and to knowledge, temperance, or self-control. And to self-control or temperance, patience, Hippopotamy is another important term. I'm going to do this show on hippopotamy with patients. And the patients thought it's interesting that one that Peter has to tell the talks of the leaders about God. So we make assumptions about the believing one, whereas the New Testament makes no assumption. Antigodliness, brotherly kindness. Antigodly kindness, charity, or love. But if these things be in you and abound or superabound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge, that is the epinosis, spiritual knowledge of our Lord Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, has forgotten that he was purged from his own sin. So the life of the flesh and the spiritual life, there is no benign coexistence. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, or in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. Christ is the gift of God. Grace talks about God's a mere faith grace. That is, I mean, it's the love of God, the grace of God. For God so loved the world, and the life that I now live in shall live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul writes, Romans says, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are debtors. We are spiritual debtors to God for what he has done for us. We are debtors to God. And where's the doctrine that emphasizes our debt to God for his so great salvation, for his so great love, for God so loved. So, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, there's just one word in the Greek with the prefix sum, S-U-N. One of the prefixes that Paul uses to speak our relationship to Christ. We are brand new creatures in Christ. We are different. We are conjoined with him. We have an organic relationship with Christ. We have an eternal relationship with Christ. We have a relationship with Christ that is vital. We are vitally connected to Christ Jesus. We are baptized into Christ. We are baptized into the body of Christ and into Christ the head. He is the head of the body of the church. We are members one of another. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Study this doctrine, learn it, live it, and God will bless your life greatly. Have a wonderful day.